Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah, dude.
We stay bringing you that Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh yeah.
And good news, we're finally moving on to the second round.
We know what opponent we're going to be playing. It will be the Denver Nuggets.
That's correct. Yeah. After electrifying games.
We're going to talk a little bit about it just now that we know what's going on. That's coming later. What a weird-ass game.
One of the strangest I can remember. But anyways, we're going to be kicking things off with a sort of pre-preview of sort of some overarching things to look for in this series. We're going to talk about, you know, some things that we think could go well, as well as, you know, some things that we're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took some fan reactions out there on Twitter.
Oh man, the fan reactions. What day is it? Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday, yes.
Fan reactions on Tuesday night, pretty confident off of Twitter.
Loving it. By the time you're listening to this on Wednesday, I hope you have those same feelings. I hope they're coming in. I hope you're coming in even harder with confidence.
I feel weird because I'm actually a little tense about this match.
Get the heck out of here. Anyways, we're going to be wrapping the show up with some sort of presser vibes. There was some limited availability today with Doc and Jamichael Green as well as Lou Williams. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So after the scintillating 80-78 game 7 against the Jazz and Nuggets, we have the second round opponent for the Clippers, which will be the Nuggets.
Just up top, is there just not enough rest in between these games?
There absolutely isn't. The Nuggets are going to have one day of rest between playing us. I believe the Bucks had like one day off between their second round series or something like that. Like, what the hell is going to happen between this and the conference finals?
So the reason I bring this up now is, you know, obviously
everyone looked gassed on both those teams.
Yes. In this game seven, I mean, yeah, it looked a little sleepy out there.
And the thing is like, right, so there's some travel days in the playoffs, right? And everyone talks about how travel is hard. Well, in 2020, travel is a lot easier than it used to be.
Yes.
So that can be seen as an advantage. And this is like an every team thing. This isn't a Clipper specific thing. There needs to be some more rest in between the rounds.
My thing
is, this isn't wild card baseball, right?
My thing is, and I don't have the full schedule right in front of me, but by the time we're getting to a conference final, you're still only going to have one day of rest in between? That seems absurd.
I mean, the only argument I can think of, which is a very old school ass argument, which is, well, if you take care of business, if you're the top seed, you'll have enough rest, right? Because the Clippers have had time off.
Yes, nearly
a fair
week.
Amount of time off.
Nearly a week by the next time they play, which will be Thursday.
Yes, against the Nuggets.
they know it's the Nuggets.
You never
man.
Know. Some people might. I forget every
some
couple
people,
of seconds.
Some people might tune in a few minutes.
Yeah,
in.
I have the Dory memory from Finding Nemo. Shout out Pixar.
Anyways, so looking towards the Clippers angle of this, I guess we'll kick things off with, what are you worried about in this one? Like, what is concerning you about this Nuggets team?
As Lee Corso used to say in the old NCAA football games, the Big Mo, momentum.
Very true.
We're looking at a team that
came back from a 3-1 deficit.
Versus us, who, because of some rotation issues, because of some guys out of the lineup, there was a bit of some hiccups in that Mavs series. This is just an intangible thing that you can't really measure, but it has to have an effect on these Nuggets players.
For sure. I guess, you know, it's just kind of weighing the two things for me. You know, we talked about a little bit of the fatigue up top. And, you know, the Nuggets have really had their back against the wall for the last
whole time.
Three games.
Like, whole time.
And they have made it out admirably. Clearly, fatigue, though, was an issue in today's game.
Murray took a knock from Ingles, which, yes, if this were hockey, Ingles would have been in a fist fight because that was a knee-to-knee collision. Also, it was Marcus Morris. There'd be some articles written about it, but that's a different argument.
For a different time. I think fatigue versus momentum is definitely interesting. The thing for me is, like, with the Clippers, I feel like a bunch of rest is sometimes a double-edged sword.
Very good call.
You know, like, it's great that the guys obviously, you know, get a chance to recover, get a chance. To me, a bigger thing is, like, getting the chance to get full team practices in.
Yes.
Because I feel like that's got to be one of those issues that hinders some of the rotations and some of, like, the adjustments is just not being able to practice stuff enough. But yeah. On the other side, I think sometimes we see this team get very sloppy coming back from breaks.
For sure. That's, you know, we've seen the bathroom break in third quarters, stuff like that. It can be an issue, and this is a Denver team that is fully locked in to literally exactly what they need to do to win, you know, as many games in a game seven as they have to.
Definitely. Another big factor for me is, you know, overall, Denver has, like, the worst defense in the bubble.
Which is pretty crazy.
I mean, they're not a great defensive team.
But worst in the bubble, I think, is, I guess, not totally quasi-surprising. Makes you go, huh.
Yeah. But anyways, despite that, Jeremy Grant has played really admirable defense against Kawhi, as well as had some of his better scoring games. He's scored 20-plus in two of the three games that we've played each other in.
Yeah.
He was the leading scorer in the first matchup in the bubble back in August.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, like, he, to my eye, and, you know, looking at some of the numbers, he is one of, if not the best, one-on-one defender on Kawhi.
Bit of an X factor. He's kind of their whole X factor, I would say.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yes.
Jokic is still Jokic, which is something I worry about. I was kind of leaning towards maybe wanting the Jazz over the Nuggets, specifically because I'd rather go against a really good defensive center than what Jokic can do.
Yes.
You can call me foolish if you want. It's totally fair. In three games against the Clips this season, he's averaged 19, 9, and 7, only in 28 minutes a game. He's obviously going to play more in the playoffs. I think it'll be around, I mean, is it crazy to think that it would be 38 minutes a game?
It's going to be 40 minutes.
Yeah, like, but, and this brought up a question from Netsky Parks asking, how many minutes should Trez play in this series? Funnily enough, in the regular season when we played the Nuggets, Trez averaged 22 minutes a game and averaged 22-9.
Yes.
In those minutes. We are going to have to be prepared for some Trez versus Jokic minutes. Those are just going to happen, I think, which worries me a bit on the holding leads category.
I definitely agree. In two of three of these games, though, throughout the season, Doc has opted to play Zoo more than Trez in two of the three.
Love that. Wait, didn't
Trez wasn't available in one.
Okay,
of the
so
three.
In two of the games where they were both available, it was an even split. But I think that's encouraging.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely. Definitely.
From Doc. I mean, Jamal Murray's a man on a mission right now.
Yes. Fell back to earth a little bit this game, but yes.
Yes. He's shooting 55, 53, and 92 from, and obviously, like, that 53 from beyond the arc is going to go back down to earth.
He's like a sub 30% shooter.
But not as close as we think, because the bubble is helping guys shoot. So
yes.
I think it's not going to be like sub 30, but it'll be close to 30. But in the regular season, he only averaged 13 points against the Clippers. So I'm not as worried about that if certain people can be healthy in the lineup. Patrick Beverley.
Another thing I'd like to see us do well is just, like, creating and defending in transition.
Yeah.
We've done a really good job in transition offensively thus far in the bubble. We lead the league in points per possession in transition. It's, you know, it's a decent amount of possessions. It's like 13% of our total possessions.
Enough to matter.
We have not been great at defending it. We've been about it, like, it's, in terms of defense, it's about the same as Denver in transition, you know. But the Nuggets have struggled more in transition so far through the playoffs. They've been kind of only middling. They did beat us in the fast break in two out of three of these meetings. And I just don't want to, like, this goes back to the momentum thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't allow them to have easy buckets.
Like, yeah, it's got to be hard every time.
Yeah, the Jokic to MPJ connection, like the full court pass.
God, I don't want to see any
be happening.
Yeah, I don't want to see any full court successful passes from Jokic in this game.
Yes.
What else do we have to do, or what else should we kind of look out for? Do you think?
So you know how I harp on this. I'm never going to stop harping on this.
Car auto part.
We need to control the ball well.
Oh, turnovers, right.
So turnovers have been really close throughout both these teams for the whole season. We're actually, funnily enough, through the playoffs, averaging the exact same amount of turnovers, around 12 a game.
Oh, shit.
Which is, I mean, significantly lower from our regular season amount of turnovers
for us,
per
I'm
game.
Like, that's great.
So we have, and like, this has kind of been not the only key, but definitely a factor in these victories. We've scored 20 plus points off of Nuggets turnovers in two of the three games. We've also won two of the three games. So,
Will was just tapping his temple for those of you who can't see us right now.
And then they scored 20 plus off turnovers in their sole win.
So maybe a telling stat there for the most part.
Yeah.
These are, and it's funny because like kind of we're going to, I think we should maybe go into next segment for the advantages, just given time situations. But these are all concerns that I'm a little tense as a series on the whole because I think some of it comes down to X's and O's and how Doc handles some things. These aren't as scary as the extremes of the Mavs. And if I'm being foolish, that's fair.
I don't think you're being foolish. I think the Mavs were a very, very solid team. I think they struggle. Obviously, they struggled in close games during the regular season. I don't know. Just the level of offense that we're going to be facing is not the same.
No.
And the level of defense is, similar.
Borderline. Yeah. Yeah. Coming up, we're going to be talking the advantages as well as some pretty, I don't want to say arrogant, but confident fan reactions from
don't
Clippers.
Don't say arrogant, confident for
I
sure.
I said confident from Clippers fans on Twitter.
All right, so we're back with some advantages for the Clippers in this upcoming series against the Nuggets, as well as some fan reactions. What do you see as an advantage, Chuck?
I mean, the wing defense of the Clippers. So they have Jeremy Grant, who should just put Kawhi Stopper on his business card. Look at the stats. It's just true. He's a great defender on Kawhi.
And just watch it. Watch it.
And just watch it. Kawhi just has issues. But as LA Clippers film, if you're not following, please go follow them, has pointed out, who's guarding PG?
Like, himself.
That's actually a very fair point that warrants a much deeper conversation on Locked On Mental Health. You know what I mean? And if they crash really hard on PG and Kawhi, we have Zoo, Bev, Morris. And like the fact that our wings are our most effective offensive players is such a huge boost in this game because of their lack of wing defenders.
So one thing I want to bring up about the wing is I believe at some point during this series, we are going to lose Morris.
Yeah, we're not exactly sure the timeline of his birth.
Originally, they said September, which I interpreted as early September. I hope not late September because it's going to be the Western Conference Finals.
I don't know. Someone asked us if we knew the exact date on Twitter. We don't.
I reached out to Morris. He said, please stop asking
me. He said, shut the fuck up. I hope it's this series, obviously. But what it boils down to is depth, right? Like that's kind of been the thing that the Clippers have hung their hats on in a way that we've really had to hang our hats on given the consistency throughout the season, is the depth is going to hopefully make this series quote unquote easier than some people think it should be.
That's fair. The Nuggets do have some guys sort of in their arsenal though. They do have some depth. I would be inclined to agree. It doesn't really necessarily compare to Clippers.
And our bench has been bad, right? Like the last episode, we tried to give out six man of the first round. It was like literally only Lou.
Yeah.
So some of these guys are going to come alive in this series because they're not going to get gamed out because they're playing the most efficient offense in the history of basketball or whatever it was.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I also think that Zoo could once again have another great series.
Keep on coming out of that chrysalis, buddy.
he has the opportunity to flourish specifically on the glass. To me, the Nuggets are a bottom three rebounding team in the playoffs.
Oof.
And granted, you know, they did go up against Gobert in their lone playoff round.
Frenchie Corona.
But we have been averaging like five more rebounds a game than them. And I think that Zoo is going to be able to hold his own in this regard.
Well, and the Mavs fight for every offensive board. Like, it's not like the Mavs are getting back on defense immediately.
Yeah, they're a solid offensive rebounding team. So hopefully Zoo can continue to grow in that regard.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Also, like, just going back to the depth, anytime MPJ is on the floor, he is going to be gamed out.
Oh, we have to attack him.
He's going to be cooked. He's going to have to stay off the floor. Yeah. And I feel like that takes away a significant scorer, what through the bubble has been a fairly significant scorer for the Nuggets. That's going to be an issue for them.
I have so many things I want to say about Michael Porter Jr. that don't have to do with basketball, but I agree with everything that you just said.
I know.
Do you think Michael Porter Jr. believes in safe food temperature cooking amounts? That's a discussion for another time.
I don't believe in that at all.
He doesn't believe in vaccines. So.
I mean, I believe in those. I'm just saying I think the food safety temperature, I mean...
You're eating raw chicken.
In Europe, you know...
You're eating raw chicken.
Not really.
You're eating cold, raw chicken, just with eggs in a weird way.
I have eaten medium rare chicken from a restaurant before.
That's absolutely insane. I hope that restaurant got burned to the ground by the health department.
It was actually in Seattle. It was kind of a specialty.
So it might have been burned down by the health department. if that's in the freaking the Cap Hill zone, better look out. The bench needs to come alive in this one, and I think it's possible.
Yes.
Right? Like... Trez can't play worse, and I don't mean that as a disrespect to Trez. He was put in a tough position against someone who's 2.5 feet taller than he is, who does everything when you're that height better than he does, by virtue of height. I think we're going to see, and Trez looked physically way better in that game 6.
Yes.
So I think we could see Lou getting some nice distribution numbers to Trez.
I like that. And also just like going back to this point that I don't want to hammer on too much, but the Nuggets have been the worst defense in the bubble.
Yeah.
If this is a team, this is a championship team, right? That's my expectations. That's what we think of this team. This should be T-ball against this kind of defense.
Oh, wow.
Like this should be time for all of these guys who've been struggling to find rhythm to find that freaking rhythm.
And this is a full bubble sample, right? Not regular season like the Mavs was. Because the Mavs, regular season, it was like, well, yeah, we should just mark these guys defensively. But yeah.
This is just bubble.
Just bubble.
Just bubble.
JB.
The worst defense. Yeah, my thing is I think that this is the last round that we can kind of get guys up to speed. If I'm being honest.
It's the last games 1 and 2. Because after games 1 and 2, the next note we have in here is specific things we want to see. We only have one thing in it, and it's Patrick Beverly get back.
Yes.
We can afford 2 games in terms of the long run.
Yeah.
Of not having Pat Bev. But we need Pat Bev to play, hopefully, every single minute that he can in this series.
Definitely.
To get back to that Pat Bev shape.
Because, like, going back to that, like, guys, you know, being able to get into a rhythm against a poor defensive team, this is where we find out how deep our rotation is.
Yeah.
I think the guys who can stand out in this are the only guys that deserve to be in the rotation. And, you know, I think
Terrence Mann, Roddy McGruder, Patrick Patterson.
I mean, I hope Roddy McGruder, but no that's not going to happen.
No, I don't.
It's not going to happen. This should be the determination of like, what makes our... I mean, if we made it to the Western Conference Final or the Final... I mean, what is it realistically? An 8-man rotation? Maybe 9?
Yeah, I mean, I've advocated for the 8-man, but the talent is so deep that you could kind of argue 9. But you're right, this is the series where...
This is where this needs to get hammered out.
Damn. Well, I will tell you one thing. Clippers fans on Twitter are feeling pretty good right now.
Love it. I love it.
We have at Trev Marley, says Clippers in 6.
Should have been Trez Marley, but anyways.
His name just might be Trevor.
My bad. Sorry, Trevor.
At Clip 420 City. Can't believe he got that one.
That's great.
I will buy that from you for $6. Calls a sweep and is excited for Plumlee versus Trez. Which I will be too if we see it, and I say that because rotations still feel like a mystery.
Yeah.
With this team. Justin Lerner, who is the person who asked us if we knew the exact date of Marcus Morris's childbirth.
Sorry, still don't know it.
Still don't know, man.
Thanks for asking.
We'll get back to you. He said, the Clippers have seen the Jazz, Blazers, Houston, OKC in recent years in the playoffs. Nice to see a relatively new opponent. We can make new memories without the PTSD of losing to any of those guys in the first or second round. Also loves the Eastern European seven-footer matchup.
Love it.
That's a good call.
I like this take.
Yeah. And then Mr.
New friends, new opportunities.
And then Mr. Do What I Want, which, wow, cool Twitter name.
Now I do what I want.
Thinks this is a prime series for Lou and Trez to break out. I could not agree more.
Absolutely.
I hope we see it.
I really hope that's the case.
The confidence from Clipper Nation is now flowing through my veins after saying I was a little tepid about everything. What's your way too early prediction? How many games it goes? Because we're going to do also a game one preview on tomorrow's episode, which a little more in-depth stuff. So,
Clips in five, baby.
I'm saying six.
That's fair.
And it's not because I'm not confident in the Clippers. It's because I just, you know, there's just some things from some of the staff that I'd like to see worked out.
Clips in five.
Let's hope so. Coming up, we're going to be talking the presser vibes. There were some eye-opening comments from Doc and Lou, and Jermichael Green took no more than three questions. But first, we have to give a shout out to Built Bar.
That's right, Built Bar.
I eat usually old pizza, not that I buy myself. I ask friends if they've bought pizza recently, and I ask for the slices.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's always good to keep a bag of old slices.
Exactly. I keep one in one cargo pocket. I keep one in the other cargo pocket.
But you know what's even more efficient, even takes up less space?
Keys?
A Built Bar.
Oh, I should put a Built Bar instead of keys in my other pockets.
The thing, Built Bar is better than keys, both for nutrients and in life. And the thing about Built Bar is, A, it's new and improved. It's even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non. Non-nut flavors.
Non-nut?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
And the thing about Built Bars that's great is, A, they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person.
Love it.
You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, which, you know, we all love to do.
I'm definitely trying to maintain my weight.
The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're great for the keto diet or any diet, frankly. They come with 19 plus grams of protein, and right now we have a special offer for our listeners. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, all one word, for $10 off at builtbar.com. One more time, code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Okay, welcome to Presser Vibes.
Hey.
Bit
it's
of
a vibe.
It was a chill presser, but kind of a deep presser.
Yes.
In a good way, I feel like.
Yes.
Shut up. Doc, it was really funny. Someone asked, I have to go, you touched on last week about enhancing the Clippers players' time in the bubble. Outside of winning, what would enhance your time in the bubble? Doc Rivers being in peak Doc Rivers swarm, which is also one of the reasons why I'm not that worried about everything, is because he said winning. That's it. Winning and drier weather specifically so he could golf.
Yeah, that's fair.
Doc seems to be in midseason form.
Doc wants the Clippers to put this away in four games so he has some time to golf.
He wants to come back and play golf. As someone who's been golfing way too much recently.
You.
Deal with it, Doc.
Not yeah, Doc.
I said as someone. No, he's definitely not. He's preparing for games, which I probably should be doing. The funniest quote, though, which was kind of written about a lot, was on if the Clippers are preparing for both teams. This was before the Jazz and Nuggets were decided. And this is a question that Doc has been asked in some form or another every year. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to looking at standings, when it comes to possible opponents, and the answer is always the exact same.
Yeah, he's focused on the Clips.
We don't prepare for teams. We just prepare us. But he could have dropped the mic and walked out of the press after that. Because with how much inconsistency the Clippers have dealt with, this is the perfect answer.
I agree. Obviously, I don't know why you would bother preparing for two teams when obviously you're only going to play one.
What are you doing?
But
like the Gobert Jokic, you're like, oh, I got one sheet for Gobert, I got one sheet. They're two completely different players. What do we got working over here?
And the thing is that like it's not like they haven't seen these guys throughout the regular season. It's not like they don't have film on them. But anyways, there's still just enough going on with this Clippers team. Even though that we saw them reaching their potential towards game 5 and game 6 against the Mavs.
Kind of. Some people.
Get out of here. Stop being a bummer.
What do you mean? PG was bad in game 6.
He wasn't bad. He just wasn't like great.
He wasn't, you know, the number 2 option on the championship team.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Fair enough. But yeah.
I agree with what you're saying though.
There's clearly enough stuff in our own camp that we can focus on.
And I like this idea, right? Like, because the idea is it's all focused on, I'm like, let's do what we can do best, which the Clippers know what they can do when they're doing it at full potential is the best in the league.
Little bit of devil's advocate.
Oh, don't. What?
What if they just started preparing for all 30 teams right now?
Okay. If we were to face the Magic in this next round, I would love that. Also, Doc was asking about the no fans situation. Because, like, the offenses in the bubble have been insane.
Absurd.
Every team.
Except for this Game 7 Nuggets Utah.
Yeah, I don't know. This was just too, you know, that immovable object facing an unstoppable force. This was just a fatigued object tripping into a tire.
A puddle of a force.
Yeah.
Also, man, I don't know how you're advocating for the era of basketball when this was the norm for scoring.
Well, so this puts me on a tangent where everyone's clamoring, not everyone, but there's a large contingent of, I'm trying to say this as nicely as I can, dipshit basketball fans.
I thought you were going to say dumbass.
Close. Who are like, man, I miss basketball like the 80s and 90s when people were getting hit across the face. And then something like the Marcus Morris and Luka thing happens, or the Tim Hardaway and Paul George thing, both very comparable things. Yeah, I'm not just singling out, you know, the Clippers thing about this. And then everyone freaks out, right?
Yes.
Like, what do we want? Like, you can't actually tell me that you want the era of when fist fights used to happen on the court back.
Like, I understand.
No one needs goons in basketball.
Like,
you do in hockey.
Yeah.
But not in basketball. Like, it's a real fight in basketball.
I understand the nostalgia, and I guess I understand.
Look, I love a good 66 to 65 scoreline.
I guess I understand the idea of fans and people wanting to posture like this tougher game. But the thing is, the game of basketball is so damn beautiful right now. I'm not trying to get anything interrupting it with asinine things that like don't involve talent or evolve the game.
I don't want to see, everyone has a 7-foot wingspan now too, that they just stand too far apart to fight. Right? All right. Anyway, Doc was talking about the explosive offenses in the bubble. And he talked about the basket. He said it's just because it's framed so well.
Interesting.
But
I like this.
Like, one side of the court is basically just like an abyss.
Yeah.
So there's not as much static movement on one side of the court.
Yes.
But he did say he thinks as things go on, you'll see offensive numbers drop a little bit. And that's where I think the Clippers are at the advantage.
So I think this is definitely interesting because you did have a bunch of practice coming into the bubble. And obviously, I mean, you work on defensive things, but like there's only so much you can do in team scrimmages to prepare like defensively for an actual another team.
Yeah.
And you watch film. I mean, there's clearly a number of things you can do.
It's the most overscouted league in the world, as Doc Rivers puts it.
Yes. Yes. But it's still different than actually being on the court. And I do think that has been a factor. I mean, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I'm sure the defensive ratings are 10 points worse for every team than they were in the regular season.
I mean, the Clippers really put up their best point total of all franchise history in this bubble. Lou Will was also in the pressers today. Very, pretty candid answers about the Wednesday-Thursday situation. And he talked about the environment. He called the environment mundane. He also said, you know,
the environment's mundane. Global warming is a hoax. Yeah. I believe was his quote.
Yeah. he also said the NBA players are expected to entertain you guys, save the world, speak up on issues that are very personal that hit home for us. We're overwhelmed. And then further, he said, none of this is easy. I'll just be candid with you. This is an extremely difficult environment. We host the show. We've talked about how this is going to be a crazy environment before, but like hearing Lou Will talk about it, you're just like, God, my shoulders just slumped. And I mean that in a nice way. It's just like, God damn. Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like this was once again, just like a well-spoken answer by a great vet about, you know, like just the weight on these guys' shoulders.
The most unprecedented environment for sports paired with the most unprecedented year in any of our existences. Existences, yeah. Whatever it is. He said he takes it one day at a time. He doesn't overwhelm himself with the road ahead. And that's the best way he can deal with it personally. He does have some family coming. So that's great. He talked about kind of having the energy to bounce off them.
Yes.
I think family Lou, we're going to see kind of a peak Lou situation. I think Lou is a guy who he keeps a tight circle, right? Like other than Jack Harlow, who's probably out of the circle now. He keeps a tight circle.
Yes.
So I think having his family back is going to be great.
Definitely, definitely. And then Jermichael with a staggeringly long presser.
Three questions. And this is no disrespect to Jermichael. This is no disrespect to the reporters. What was this? Was this like, we need a guy, grab whoever's walking by?
Jermichael is one of my favorite clips in that, like, he's a well-spoken dude, but he's kind of soft-spoken, and he's, he's not eager to answer questions.
No, but he will if you're there. Also rocks, I haven't talked about this in a while, some elite sweatsuits.
Yes, man. Definitely.
Also has a very interesting Alabama tattoo. Said his kids and girlfriend will be out closer to the conference finals. Says right now it's all business.
I love it.
Eyes on the prize.
Look, conference finals are fun and games, though.
Oh, it's just a good time. that's clips in three. You know. he also mentioned he hopes his kids have enough to do as they like to be outside.
Yeah, I thought this was hella funny.
Man, if you've never been... So there's a difference between like small children who like to be outside and play and just small children who like to play, right? And that difference becomes very apparent when the small children who like to be outside and play are forced to be inside.
Can they not go outside on the campus? Because this campus is huge.
I think they can. But also...
Maybe out there throwing golf balls at alligators or whatever. Sounds like a good time.
He's from Alabama. They got some... Yeah. I don't know. I just have... If I had children and I were an NBA bubble, so taking a couple liberties with my current life existence.
5 degrees.
A couple degrees, you know. I just let my kids fish a bunch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends on the kid, but yeah.
The hooks will come out.
Fun as hell.
Oh, no. My kids, they're fine. anything else in shavings?
No, we got to get the heck out of here.
Thank you so much. We know the opponent coming up.
Which is key one to defeating your opponent.
I believe Sun Tzu wrote that. Again, just thanks for rocking with us. Thursday's episode, we're going to have a more in-depth Game 1 preview.
That's right.
There's going to be some presser vibes. Whatever else happens, maybe Trez got a new Lego set.
Yes, hopefully.
Carl Tart also asked, he was like, has anyone said anything about what we said for the checklist about not being racist and wear your mask? And I was like, no, everyone kind of expects that from this show.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
If you have something else to say, though, go ahead and direct that over to @dammitcarl.
No, come at Charles Malkin, come at Will Updike. We'll run the fade, whatever happens. Where can these fantastic listeners tell their friends to listen to us?
Hey, I hope that you're already subscribed to us, but if you aren't, please tell your friends. You can listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. You can tell your smart speaker to play Lockdown Clippers. Please subscribe if you haven't already. It really helps us out. Leave a rating or review. We'd love to know what you think, what we could do better, what you're liking, what you're not. Let us know.
Also, the party line is open.
That's right. What's that number?
213-986-7354.
What's that number?
213-986-7354. I just said it. Put it on wax. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.